We're blessed to have our friend Don Horales here with his wife Gloria, and he's speaking this morning, and I'm just so grateful for him and his willingness to come and serve me and serve our body in this way. So he's gonna preach from Isaiah 6. I'm so glad he's here with us, and when he does come up, I'm sure you guys will love him well and hopefully get to talk to him at the potluck time afterwards. But before I have Don come up, I am going to have Karen's going to read the scripture for us, and just before that too, I also want to do two things. I want to welcome the Bowers back because we just love this family, and they're here. They've been gone for about a month. If you didn't know it, that's on you. You need to get to know your church body better, but they're back, and so praise Jesus. And then I want to pray for the Gordons. I think many of you heard about what happened with Jim and Linda. They flipped their car two times over this last week, and both of them were injured pretty good, but they're both alive, and they're relatively okay. So before I have Karen come read the scripture, I just want to pray for the two of them and their continued healing, because they're home now, but they're both hurting. Praise the Lord, though they're alive, right? So let me pray for them and pray for the service, and then I'll have Karen come read for us, and then Don will come up after Karen. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of being together. Thank you for this place you've given us to gather freely. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted. Thank you for every soul that calls this place home, and that we get to do life together with you and with one another. I lift them all up to you this morning, and we lift our brother and sister Jim and Linda up to you. We love them. They're such a sweet part of this body, of your body, and so we just are thankful, Lord. Let me just say thank you first and foremost that they're still alive. Thank you that nobody else was injured in that incident. Thank you that you are bringing healing already. They're home from the hospital, and I know they have pain in their bodies. So I just want to cry out to you on their behalf to bring even further healing, Lord, for them. Lord, bring them your peace and your stillness and your comfort, and Lord, be their medicine in this time that they have. Now help us to, as a body, just to serve them however they need to be served, Lord. And I just pray they would sense your presence, and they'd sense your presence through us as we get to be your hands and your feet for your people whom you love so much. So we lift them up to you. We pray for Don as he preaches the word this morning. Lord, thank you for your word, so precious. Thank you for Don being willing to stand up filled with the Holy Spirit and just be a mouthpiece for you, just joining you in the work that you've already gone ahead of him and done and prepared the way, Lord. I pray he'd be able to walk this path this morning with that he'd feel free in this, and that he would enjoy himself, and that he would experience you, and just as we all do this morning, Lord. So we lift this service up to you in your name, Jesus. Amen. If I could have Karen come and read the scripture for us.
Good morning. Okay, Isaiah's vision of the Lord in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year of that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me."
Thank you so much for sharing the scripture with us. I'm just going to lay this over here. Hey, it's great to be with you folks again. Gloria and I were out here in March this year, and we had such a great time. We were so impressed by the number of children and young people here in this church. We were kind of blown away at this tiny little church and just bursting at the seams with kids and young families. And so that was a really neat experience for us, and everyone so friendly, and such a family atmosphere here at North Bend Community Church. So we really enjoyed that day, and we're blessed to be invited back again by Pastor Ryan. And it's been nice meeting Ryan and his wife Jessica and getting to know you folks just a tad bit, and hope to get to know you more. But they're doing a great job out here at this church and building up the congregation. Ryan was sharing with me the challenges right now of raising up leaders to lead the young people and the children, and all that needs to go on here in a church. So that's a good kind of challenge to have. And we pray that God raises up those leaders that are needed for the ministry here. Well, when I think of North Bend, I think of Mount Si. I hope I didn't already tell you this story, but when I was a freshman at Seattle Pacific University, and by the way, I just had my 50-year class reunion here about a month ago at SPC, or SPU now it's called. And so that was just a great time too. But I remember our guys' dorm and a girls' dorm floor got together, and it was a Sunday. I guess we were all playing hooky from church that day, but we all hiked up to Mount Si on a beautiful fall day. And I don't know what I was most excited about, if it was climbing the mountain or meeting girls, but freshman year, you know, and so that was long before I met Gloria, though, so just clarify that, yeah. But so lots of memories. I grew up in Ephrata, and we'd come over back before even the freeway was finished to come over to Lake Retreat Camp. And those were highlight days in my life, was out at camp, and God spoke to me in many wonderful ways during those growing up years, and meeting God in special ways at Lake Retreat. So, well, the story is told of a kindergartner who was busy drawing a picture in class with her crayons, and the teacher stopped by her desk and asked what she was drawing. Little girl said, "Oh, I'm drawing a picture of God." Teacher said, "Oh, honey, no one knows what God looks like." Little girl replied, "They will in a minute." "Well, what does God look like? What are his distinguishing characteristics? What are his divine attributes?" "God is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving. God is patient and faithful and merciful, kind and compassionate. Today I'd have us consider one more attribute of God. God is holy." Now, what do we mean by this word holy? The Hebrew word kadosh means separated or set apart. Now, I have a holy toothbrush. It is separate from my wife's toothbrush. And if by mistake she should ever use my toothbrush, well, that would not be good. And if I should accidentally ever use Gloria's toothbrush, well, that would not be good either. But I have that holy toothbrush set apart for my exclusive use. God is holy in that he is separate, set apart, marked off, withdrawn from the common and ordinary. God is separated off from his creation, from everything and everyone that exists. God is transcendent, over and above all else. Think of the temple in the Bible days. The temple had a sacred room called the Holy of Holies. There in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the throne of God. The Holy of Holies was separated off from the rest of the temple by a thick curtain. And so this stands as a picture of the holiness of God. God is separate, set apart from all else. He is transcendent. At the same time, God is immanent or close. And he chooses to dwell among his people, to come close to us, even as God is thought to dwell in the temple in the Old Testament. That was a picture of God coming close to the people. And so it is God comes close to live with us. Now this word holy has the further meaning of being separate from anything sinful, evil, profane. God's holiness is his absolute purity. I think of the old Irish soap commercial. It said that Ivory soap is 99.44% pure. It floats. And God is better than that. He's 100.000% pure, sinless, untainted with evil. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong." God cannot be tempted with evil, according to James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. This picture of all holy God is a far cry from what our culture today is like in regards to God. Popular notions of God: he is the old man upstairs. Or I think of the movie, Oh God, that pictured cigar-smoking George Burns as God. Various religions with their myriads of gods and goddesses, all with their human-like passions and lusts and weaknesses. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "What you think about God is the most important thing about you." Let me read that again. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. How we need to get it right when we think about God. Today, we need a fresh encounter with all holy God. Wouldn't you agree? A fresh encounter. It's too easy to just come to church and greet and see all your friends and go through the service, go through the motions, leave, go home untouched. How we need a fresh encounter with God. Our souls are dry and thirsty, hungry, empty, anxious, angry, restless, fearful, unfulfilled. How we need a fresh encounter with God, who is holy, holy, holy. Where will a fresh encounter with all holy God lead us? Well, let's consider some insights today from the experience of Isaiah. An encounter with all holy God will first of all lead us to revere him. Verse 6, or chapter 6, Isaiah, verse 1, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." The year was 740 BC. The occasion was Isaiah's call to minister as God's prophet, a ministry that would span decades. Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord." Now, the Bible tells us elsewhere that no one has ever seen God, not in a physical kind of way. God is essentially invisible spirit. But God revealed himself through a vision to Isaiah. God appeared as a radiant beam, seated on a throne, high, lifted up with a long flowing royal robe. Verse 2, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. There were these seraphim, these heavenly angelic winged creatures. Now the word seraph means burning one. These were brilliant creatures, and yet they covered their eyes before the blazing glory of God. And with two of their wings, they also covered their feet, a sign of humility. Verse 3, and one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Why don't we practice that a little bit ourselves here? You ready to shout? Okay, you shout after me. Holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord of hosts.
Is the Lord of hosts.
The whole earth is full.
The whole earth is full.
Of his glory.
Of his glory.
Amen. Good job. Good job. Verse 4. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. The temple shook at the thunderous sound of the heavenly creatures shouting praise to God. The house of worship was filled with smoke. What an awesome encounter this was for Isaiah. Have you ever experienced something that just took your breath away? I think of a few years back, we were at the Grand Canyon, and I got that first glimpse of the Grand Canyon, and it was breathtaking, literally. It was amazing, awesome. I saw some people that were sitting on the edge of the cliff. That was scary. Yeah, it made me fearful for them. And yet it was all exciting. It's exciting. And then I think of another occasion. We were at Hoover Dam, and bending over the rail and looking down the long face of the dam. And again, I trembled in the pit of my stomach. You know, it was just one of those experiences that you wouldn't want to go over the rail, okay? And yet it was exciting. It's exciting. When Isaiah had a vision of God, it took his breath away. God met with him in an amazing way, and Isaiah responded in awe and with reverence, with fear and trembling. I believe God would have us to respond to him this morning in the same way, with holy fear, not a cringing fear, not a dreadful terror, but a holy, respectful fear of the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, we hear about the early church. And verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. My prayer is that God would come down and shake the rafters of North Bend Community Church. Amen? Yeah. That God would show up and really meet with us, even this morning. Last fall, I attended the Missions Fest Seattle, and it was an awesome conference. The highlight for me was hearing the testimonies of a mother and daughter, Kelly and Lauren, who had experienced firsthand the revival that broke out 2 years ago at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. And Lauren, a student, explained the morning chapel service. It was pretty routine, and they sang some songs at the end of the service, and it was just the Holy Spirit just kind of came upon them. 19 of them didn't leave the chapel that day. They just wanted to stay and continue their singing, and they felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And That group of 19, they stayed afterwards all day, More people came back again to the chapel. Got to be evening time, got to be 1:30 in the morning before they finally left. And that kicked off a 16-day revival. Students were singing songs of praise to God. They were repenting of their sins, reconciling with one another. It was all very heartfelt and sincere. For 16 days and nights, people packed the chapel. And soon, students from other colleges, universities heard about this and wanted to get in on it. So they came flocking to Wilmore, a little town. And all in all, people from 40 United States and 40 different countries came to Asbury. People lined up for blocks and blocks to get in the building. And they set up a big screen TV outside. Here it was in, I believe, February. It was cold, it was winter, but they stood outside to see it on the big screen. And revival spread to other college campuses as well. And God was at work. God was at work in powerful ways. I asked Kelly afterwards, who was on staff at Asbury, if this was just a flash in the pan kind of thing that, you know, poof, and it's all done and over with. No, she said that there were genuine results that were long-lasting results. People's lives transformed through that time of meeting with God. And God continues to change people's lives in universities, in places all across America today. God is at work, and how we would pray that God would work powerfully here in the Pacific Northwest. Well, today we would stand in awe of God, who is all powerful, all glorious, and all holy. Let us hold him in reverence. This brings us to a second insight. A fresh encounter with all holy God will lead us to recognize our sin. Verse 5, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me, Isaiah cried. Oh no, I'm ruined. I'm a dead duck. Why? Because his eyes had seen God. And it was believed that if ever a human should see God, they would be instantly fried to a crisp. They'd be zapped dead on the spot, you know. Oh no, woe is me, Isaiah cried. And if we look back one chapter to Isaiah chapter 5, we see a number of woes listed. Verse 18, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin with cart ropes. Verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. 22, 23, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. The Lord, through his prophets, spoke words of woe, dire warning to people who exploit the poor, plot evil schemes, deceive, are haughty, abuse alcohol and let their passions run wild, who act unjustly. Isaiah lived among a sinful people. But was he himself immune to sin? No, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Stories told of some girls at a middle school who thought it was really cute to kiss the bathroom mirror. So they'd put on their bright lipstick and they'd smack the mirror in the bathroom at the school. Well, the janitor was not amused. One day, the principal and the janitor took the girls into the bathroom. The principal told the girls that the janitor had to work really hard at getting those lipstick marks off the mirror. Then she asked the janitor to demonstrate. So he took the brush that he used to clean the toilets, and he swished that around in the toilet, and then he wiped the mirror. Well, needless to say, that was the end of the kiss marks. But I ask, how clean are my lips? How clean are your lips? Do we have vulgar lips? Profane lips, abusive lips, deceitful lips, gossipy lips, sarcastic lips, judgmental lips? Or do we have pure lips, kind lips, gracious lips, gentle lips, sincere lips, honest lips? Jesus said, from the heart the mouth speaks. What does your speech say about your heart? When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself, and when he saw himself, he saw his sin. And when he saw his sin, he saw his need for cleansing. As if in a giant magnifying mirror, Isaiah saw himself in light of God's holiness. Today, when God encounters us, he makes us painfully aware of our sinfulness. He convicts us deeply. And that leads us to a third insight here from Isaiah. An encounter with all holy God will lead us to receive his grace. Receive his grace. Verses 6 and 7, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah confessed his sinfulness before God. And a seraph took a red hot burning coal from off the altar. Now the altar was a place of sacrificing animals, literally. It speaks of the blood shed to pay the price of sin. The Old Testament sacrifices all pointed us ahead to one thing, to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And in a few minutes, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, reminding us again of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. In Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, we read, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ carried our sins on his shoulders as he hung upon the cross. And now we can be completely cleansed, forgiven, made free. We may feel that, hey, I've messed up too much. I've messed up too much to really be forgiven by God. And we carry around that burden of guilt all the time. But that's just not true. We can be forgiven. No matter how bad we've messed up, we can be forgiven and set free. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's confess our sins, ask God's forgiveness, and then receive his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. And that brings us to a final insight. A fresh encounter with all holy God will lead us to respond to his call upon our lives. We call this consecration. We said earlier that God is holy and that he is set apart, set apart. And so we are called to be holy, set apart from sin and set apart to serve God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8 reads, "Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord who sanctifies you." God is holy. Therefore, God calls us to a life of purity, of obedience, of holiness. God further calls us to be set apart for divine service, dedicated to serve the Lord. Charles III was formally coronated as King of England sometime after the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth. With this came a vow of dedication. And Charles dedicated himself to serve and to fulfill all the duties of being the king. And in an elaborate ceremony, Charles was washed, he was anointed with oil, and he was crowned as king. And I think of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We are called to offer our bodies, speaking of our total selves, as a living sacrifice to God. This is our spiritual worship, or our reasonable service. And Isaiah 6:8 goes on, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me." God gave Isaiah an assignment. And we might say it was like Mission Impossible. He would preach to a people who would stubbornly refuse to listen to God. It was a hostile audience. In verses 9 and 10, says, "And he said, go." God saying to Isaiah, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." That's kind of hard to understand why God would say that, but we have to understand Israel had resisted God for centuries. They had plugged their ears. They had closed their eyes. Time and time and time again, they had given God the stiff arm. They said, "Go away. No, no. We don't want to follow and obey you." Isaiah's mission of preaching repentance would be no fun. Okay? It would not be an enjoyable experience. Okay? This was going to be really, really tough. And only a tiny remnant of people would respond. Yet Isaiah was resolute in his response. "Here I am. Here I am." The response of a servant. When God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, he responded, "Here am I." And when God, out of a burning bush, called Moses, Moses responded, "Here am I." And when God called a little boy, Samuel, at night, he responded, "Here am I." And Isaiah, when he was called to an extremely challenging, difficult mission, responded, "Here am I. Send me." Pastor Mike Briot tells of his daughter Jody answering God's call to a mission in Haiti. Now, Jody had just finished high school, and he got this email from Jody. "Dad, tonight has been the most remarkable night in my life. I got called out to this hut to deliver a baby. Dad, I've only delivered one, and that was with somebody else. I never done this by myself, but I was the only one around. They called me, and I get to this hut, and there's this naked screaming lady on the dirt floor. Jody says, I got a flashlight, and I'm thinking, here I am, 18 years old, and I'm in a hut in a third world country with a naked screaming pregnant lady. I have a flashlight, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here. To make matters worse, Jody says, this lady from the voodoo religion walked into the hut, dressed in her red and blue voodoo garb, and began to chant some voodoo incantation in Creole. She put some kind of oil on the lady's head, and when she started to walk away from me and the woman, she stopped, and at the woman's belly put some other kind of salve there, and walked opposite direction, all the while chanting this Creole spell. I didn't know what to do, Jody said. She stood at the head of this woman and stared a hole through me. When I was getting ready to deliver the baby, I just looked back at her and started singing. I knew she didn't understand English, but I just started singing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Jody writes, the voodoo lady became completely unglued. She grabbed all her stuff and ran out of the hut. And Jody wrote, that night I knew that that baby was going to be born with the blessing of God and not the curse of Satan. God may not be calling you to go to Haiti. In fact, right now, Haiti's a pretty dangerous place to be. But God is calling all of us to serve him. It might be to share our faith with a colleague at work, or a neighbor, or a fellow student at school this next school year. It may be really dedicating ourselves to praying for our church and for people we know. It may be serving the Lord in this church in any variety of ways. But God calls all of us to dedicate ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, to serve him. Today, are you willing to say, here am I, Lord, reporting for duty. Send me, use me, here am I. Here am I devote myself to you. I consecrate and dedicate my life to you. Isaiah saw the Lord, and he had a fresh encounter with the living God. Today, God is among us. Let us revere him, our awesome, holy God. And let us recognize our sins and confess them. And let us receive God's mercy and grace. And then let us respond to God and his calling upon our lives. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that as you speak to our hearts today, we might dedicate ourselves to truly living all out for you. Lord, here we are. We give ourselves to serve you. We give our lives to you, Lord. And if there's even one person here today who's never ask Jesus into his or her heart. We just pray that today that would be the day that they'd say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. And I ask you to come into my heart, forgive my sin, make me a new person. I give my life to you. And for all of us today, Lord, we want to refresh that commitment to serving you, to living for Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.